Welcome to the OCR A-Level Physical Education Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating and exam-rich topics in the entire specification, contemporary issues in sport. This is Component 03, Topic 6.3, and I promise you, if you get this topic right, you are going to pick up marks that other candidates miss. So settle in, grab your revision notes, and let's get started. Let me begin by telling you exactly what this topic is about and why it matters. Contemporary issues in sport asks you to think like a sociologist and a sports analyst at the same time. You need to understand how sport interacts with society, how money, media, ethics, technology, and governance all collide in the modern sporting world. Examiners want to see that you cannot just describe these things, but critically evaluate them. And that word, evaluate, is key because assessment objective 3, which is evaluation, carries 40% of the marks in this component. That's the biggest single chunk. So throughout this podcast, every time I explain something, I want you to be thinking, what are the strengths of this? What are the weaknesses? What evidence can I use? Right? Let's get into the core concepts. The first and arguably most important concept is the golden triangle. You absolutely must know this inside out. The golden triangle describes the mutually reinforcing relationship between three things: sport, the media, and commercial sponsorship. Think of it as a triangle where each corner feeds the others. Sport provides the content, the drama, the competition, the spectacle. The media broadcasts that content to millions of viewers, and sponsors pay huge sums of money to be associated with that audience. The money then flows back into sport, funding elite athletes, clubs, and events, and the cycle continues. Now, here's where candidates often go wrong. They describe the golden triangle perfectly, but then fail to apply it. Examiners want you to use specific examples. Think about the Premier League. Sky Sports and BT Sport, now TNT Sports, paid over £5 billion for broadcast rights in the 2022 to 2025 cycle. That money funds player wages, stadium development, and grassroots initiatives. Sponsors like Nike, Barclays, and EA Sports pay to have their logos associated with that broadcast audience. The sport modifies itself, think of Monday Night Football or the introduction of the Winter World Cup in Qatar, to suit media schedules and commercial interests. That is the golden triangle in action. And here's the critical evaluation point. Is this a good thing? On one hand, commercialization has raised the standard of elite sport dramatically. Athletes are better funded, facilities are world-class, and global audiences can access sport like never before. On the other hand, it has created a two-tier system. Wealthy clubs and sports attract more sponsorship, more media coverage, and therefore more money, while minority sports and grassroots participation are left behind. The rich get richer. That's your evaluative argument, and that's what gets you into the top mark band. Now let's talk about two terms that candidates frequently confuse, and getting them right is worth easy marks. Sportsmanship and gamesmanship. Sportsmanship refers to behavior that upholds the spirit of the game, playing fairly, respecting opponents and officials, accepting defeat graciously. It reflects the ethos of amateurism and the Corinthian ideal. A classic example is a footballer kicking the ball out of play when an opponent is injured, even though the rules don't require it. Gamesmanship, on the other hand, refers to using any means within, or sometimes bending, the rules to gain an advantage. It's not necessarily cheating, but it's not in the spirit of the game either. Think of a tennis player bouncing the ball 20 times before serving to disrupt their opponent's rhythm, or a rugby player deliberately slowing down at a ruck to waste time. Gamesmanship is legal, but ethically questionable. The examiner's mark scheme will credit you for accurately distinguishing between these two terms and providing specific examples. Don't just say, "Sportsmanship is playing fair." That's too vague. Say, "Sportsmanship reflects the Corinthian ideal of fair play, where the manner of participation is valued above the outcome as demonstrated by," and then give your example. Now, deviance and violence in sport. This is a rich area for evaluation. Deviance in sport refers to behavior that violates the norms and values of sport and wider society. It exists on a spectrum from gamesmanship at one end through rule violations to outright cheating and criminal behavior at the other. Violence in sport can be categorized as either player violence, which occurs during the game, or spectator violence, which is hooliganism. Player violence can be further divided into instrumental aggression, which is goal-directed and controlled, and hostile aggression, which is reactive and emotionally driven. Candidates who use this terminology and apply it to examples will be awarded credit for demonstrating precise knowledge. The causes of deviance are important to understand. Commercialization is a major driver. when the financial rewards for winning are enormous, the temptation to cheat increases. The pressure to win at all costs, driven by the golden triangle, creates an environment where deviance is more likely. This is your synoptic link. Connect commercialization to deviance, and you're showing the examiner exactly the kind of cross-topic thinking that earns top marks. Let's move on to doping. This is one of the most high-profile contemporary issues in sport, and the examiner expects you to evaluate the strategies used to combat it, not just describe them. The World Anti-Doping Agency, known as WADA, was established in 1999 following widespread doping scandals in cycling. WADA operates the Prohibited List, a regularly updated catalog of banned substances and methods, and coordinates testing programs across all major sports. National governing bodies, or NGBs, are responsible for implementing WADA's code within their own sports. The strategies to combat doping fall into two broad categories: legal and educational. Legal strategies include out-of-competition testing, the biological passport, which tracks an athlete's biological markers over time to detect abnormalities, and strict liability, meaning athletes are responsible for any substance found in their body regardless of intent. Educational strategies include programs like UKGD's Clean Sport Initiative, which aims to change the culture around doping by educating young athletes about the risks and ethics. Now, evaluate. Are these strategies effective? The Russian doping scandal exposed by the McLaren report in 2016 revealed state-sponsored systematic doping across dozens of sports. Despite WADA's frameworks, a nation was able to cheat on an industrial scale for years. This suggests that legal strategies alone are insufficient when there is institutional support for doping. The counterargument is that the scandal was ultimately detected and exposed, demonstrating that the system does work eventually. Russia was banned from competing under its own flag at subsequent Olympic Games. Your evaluation should acknowledge both sides and reach a reasoned judgment. Now let's talk about technology and sport. This is another area where candidates often lose marks by being too descriptive. The examiner wants you to evaluate the impact of technology on officials, spectators, and performers. And these are three distinct groups, so address them separately. Take VAR, video assistant referee, in football. For officials, VAR provides an additional layer of scrutiny that can correct clear and obvious errors. However, it has been criticized for undermining the authority of the on-field referee and creating inconsistency in decision-making. For spectators, VAR has disrupted the flow of the game and the spontaneity of goal celebrations, reducing the emotional experience of watching live football. For performers, VAR has increased the pressure on players, who know that marginal decisions, a shoulder offside, a handball, can overturn goals and change match outcomes. Hawkeye in tennis and cricket provides ball tracking data that is widely accepted as accurate and has generally been welcomed by all three groups. It has reduced disputes over line calls and given players a limited number of challenges, which adds a strategic element to the game. The key evaluative point is this: technology can enhance the integrity of sport by improving decision accuracy, but it can also undermine the flow, spontaneity, and human element of competition. There is a tension between getting decisions right and preserving the experience of sport. That tension is your evaluative argument. Finally, let's cover UK Sport and Sport England, because candidates regularly confuse these two organizations and it costs marks. UK Sport is responsible for funding and supporting elite sport in the United Kingdom. It distributes lottery funding to athletes and sports with medal potential at Olympic and Paralympic Games. Its mission is podium performance, winning medals. UK Sport operates on a no-compromise funding model, meaning sports that don't deliver medal success risk losing their funding. Sport England, by contrast, focuses on grassroots participation. Its mission is to get more people active more often. It funds community sports clubs, school sport, and initiatives targeting underrepresented groups. The Active Lives Survey, which Sport England commissions, measures participation rates across the country. The confusion arises because both organizations receive lottery funding and both operate in the sports sector, but their missions are fundamentally different. UK Sport equals elite performance, Sport England equals mass participation. Remember that with this phrase, UK Sport is for the podium, Sport England is for the park. Now let's move into exam tips and common mistakes. I want you to really listen to this section because these are the things that separate a grade B from a grade A. First, always address the command word. If the question says evaluate, you must make a judgment. Don't just list positives and negatives, conclude. Say which side of the argument you find more convincing and why. Examiners are looking for a reasoned, substantiated conclusion in AO3 responses. Second, use specific contemporary examples. Vague references to a sport or a famous athlete will not earn you marks. Name the sport, name the athlete, name the event. The Russian doping scandal. VAR in the 2019 Champions League final. The Premier League's broadcast deal. These specifics signal to the examiner that you have genuine, up-to-date knowledge. Third, in 10-mark extended responses, you must address all three assessment objectives. AO1 is your knowledge, define your terms, explain your concepts. AO2 is your application, use real examples to illustrate your points. AO3 is your evaluation, make judgments, weigh evidence, reach conclusions. A response that is all knowledge and no evaluation will be capped in the lower mark bands, no matter how accurate it is. Fourth, don't confuse UK sport with Sport England. This comes up every year. Learn the distinction and you will not make this mistake. Fifth, when discussing technology, evaluate its impact on officials, spectators, and performers separately. A response that treats them as one group will miss marks. Now for our quickfire recall quiz. Cover your notes and see how many of these you can answer. Question 1. What are the three components of the golden triangle? Question 2. What is the difference between sportsmanship and gamesmanship? Question 3. Name two legal strategies used by WADA to combat doping. Question 4. What is the difference between UK sport and Sport England? Question 5. Name one positive and one negative impact of VAR on spectators. Question 6. What does AO3 stand for and what percentage of marks does it carry in component 03? Pause the podcast now and try to answer those from memory. Go on, it's worth it. Retrieval practice is one of the most powerful revision techniques there is. Ready? Here are the answers. 1. Sport, media, and commercial sponsorship. 2. Sportsmanship upholds the spirit of the game. Gamesmanship uses any means within or bending the rules to gain advantage. 3. Out-of-competition testing and the biological passport. 4. UK sport funds elite performance. Sport England promotes grassroots participation. 5. Positive, more accurate decisions. Negative, disrupts flow and spontaneity of goal celebrations. 6. Assessment objective 3. Evaluation. 40% of marks. How did you do? If you got all 6, you're in great shape. If you missed some, go back to your notes and make sure those points are locked in. Let me wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. The golden triangle is the interdependent relationship between sport, media, and sponsorship. It drives commercialization, but also creates inequality between sports. Sportsmanship upholds the spirit of the game. Gamesmanship bends the rules for advantage. Deviance and violence in sport are driven in part by the commercial pressures of the golden triangle. WADA uses legal and educational strategies to combat doping, but high-profile scandals like Russia 2016 show the limitations of these approaches. Technology like VAR and Hawkeye improves decision accuracy, but can undermine the flow and human element of sport. UK sport funds elite athletes, Sport England promotes participation. And in your exam, AO3 evaluation carries 40% of marks, so always make a judgment. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing those extended responses, and remember, the examiner wants to see you think, not just recall. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.